This is I love doing the beginning of this. This is the Radio Juxtapose podcast. And today's guest is
I'm Stepan Tadic, a painter. From Croatia. I don't know. I live in New York. I don't know.
Welcome back to the Radio Juxtapose podcast. My name is Doug Gillen. On this week's episode, Evan Preko is in conversation with New York-based painter Stepan Tadic. Though he was raised between Croatia and Austria, I think it's fair to say that New York is Stepan Tadic's current muse. His home away from home takes center stage as larger-than-life cityscapes burst into every single corner of his canvases, serving as postcards of his time in the city and snapshots into the moments that have made it. His hand playfully skirts between Central Park Sunday painter into comic book illustrator, and I swear on occasion, there's a little nod to Bob Ross thrown in there for good measure. Stepan embraces the familiar, the kitsch, the pastiche, the saturated, finding new ways to repackage and present it back to us, the audience. Today, Stepan and Evan sit down to talk about the joy in familiarity, the influences and techniques in his work, and much, much more. If you enjoy this episode of Radio Juxtapose, make sure you subscribe to the channel wherever you are listening in from, and why not head over to our Instagram channel at Radio Juxtapose to stay up to date with all our news right there. That is it from me right now. Enjoy the show.
I'm curious, what does somebody who is from, I know you were born in Austria, but you are Croatian.
I grew up in Austria.
Oh, you grew up in Austria?
Yeah. I went to Austria when I was three.
Okay.
3 years old. No, 2 years old.
You don't remember?
Yeah, but I know that my brother was like, he was just born. I think it was like kind of around my third birthday.
So what does a Croatian born, Austrian raised, back to Croatia, now in New York City, what do you do for Thanksgiving?
I don't know. I'm looking where to go because like friends, everyone's doing something. People are traveling, and I'm trying to see where's the good party.
What's your favorite Thanksgiving piece of the puzzle?
Seeing friends and having dinner. I don't know. I don't see it as anything special. But people have, it's just like people have time. They do hang out, because people are usually like, oh, busy, I can't this, I can't that. But on Thanksgiving, everybody knows that everyone's hanging out. And that's the part of what I like.
The time part, the part where everybody drops things and just kind of, is there an equivalent in Croatia?
To Thanksgiving?
Well, not like Thanksgiving, but just a time when people stop and like really like just focus on family and friends.
I think what I noticed since I'm here that Easter is not very big in the US.
No, it's not.
Nobody does anything for Easter, but I think we do stuff on Easter more.
Okay.
I like Easter because it's spring and it's, I don't know, like it's a couple of days. It's like big Friday, big, I don't know. There's like a whole week of people doing nothing, like, and it's kind of good.
There's so much to get to talk about. Your career is really at a nice place right now. You've got an upcoming show at James Fuentes. You and I did the feature that's going to be in the print edition of the next issue of Juxtapose. But I want to talk about time. I like that you brought up time. You are somebody who goes out, observes, sketches, walks the city, finds inspiration, finds metaphors to create within the work that you do. What is downtime for you?
I mean, relaxing for me is more of I have to do effort to do that. So, because I worked so much always, and I'm always like, since I was a kid, I was very, I don't know, somehow like driven to work all the time. And I also, not just unconsciously, also like I thought that that's the way to go. That's how you do it, like work, work, work. And now I came to this part of my life where I see that I have to relax more and force myself a little bit to find a way to do something that's like joy, like joyful and fun and relaxing and stuff. So I kind of have to learn that. People have that, but I have to kind of learn that.
Do you find your work to be humorous?
Yeah, I'm always including humor in my work because, like, you know, when you're like that, working all the time or something, then you include stuff which makes you feel, which boosts your vibe, like in some way, in that space where you're like all the time in the studio. Like, of course, like I found humor to be a good method to keep you motivated.
I love this thing that you said to me, that you didn't have you didn't think of moving to New York City as like, here I come. I'm in New York City. It's my favorite city. It's the dream. You were almost thinking that you wanted to go to Chicago or a different place, but you paint New York with such a keen observational eye. It seems like with a lot of love, but New York was not the dream for you.
No. But I mean, I just use New York as trying to be in this moment in somehow. Like if you would ask me, I would paint Croatia all the time and Zagreb, my city. That's what I kind of would love to do. I have more to say about it. Because I'm in New York, I might as well paint it, you know, and kind of, it's almost like a exercise to paint something where I am now and analyze it and work on it. And, you know, it's kind of interesting to not paint something that's far away, but something that you're living now. So then you can like do and change your paintings while you're doing them, while observing and every day, you know, like you can get ideas, new ideas that you can put in.
Did you come to New York? Did you come to Columbia with the idea, I'm going to paint New York? What were you expecting to find when you came here?
I don't know. I can't even remember. I thought that it would be a lot of great artists that I will meet and conversations and la la la. I don't know. I think my prediction was kind of okay. Like it is as it is. Like it's a very ambitious place. It's everyone is very focused on their careers. I kind of wanted that. I needed a time where I'm really focused even more, you know, like, and where I'm with people who are like competitive. Like I kind of needed that in order to like boosting up a little bit. And that's it. Yeah, I don't know.
But did you come here with this? I know you had a love for comics, and not just like comic books, but like the comic books in the vein of Chris Ware and, you know, the kind of almost conceptual comic book artist. Did you come to New York with that style already, or was that something that you realized was actually where your passion was going to be, or where your direction was really going to head?
I was doing more comics before I came here, because here I stopped having time for them.
Okay.
I started doing comics in Croatia when I finished my college there, because like I was like getting too classical somehow in school, learning about art history, la la la. And then I finished school. I started having a studio in like a squat, you know, like Medica, it's called, in Zagreb. And I was like surrounded by, like, you know, punk concerts and stuff like that. And that was like what I would usually, you know, hang out with. But now it became kind of my life. And then I went to comics kind of, you know, because I was surrounded by this culture, which I realized it's actually kind of my life. I don't know. Because once you leave the like art academy and the institution, when art history becomes kind of just something you learned in school, you see where you are. And then that's how I started doing comics on the side. But then I came to New York and painting kind of became more straight up like career something. I didn't see it like that before. And now I'm really like painting a lot because I want this is kind of important, an important moment, like straight after grad school. And, you know, and I do comics on the side still, but I'm actually writing a lot of ideas down, and I'm waiting for them to come out. I don't want to be a professional comic book artist. Right. I just want to do it for pleasure. I publish in zines. I want to publish. I want to do them for free. I want it to be my, you know, side thing.
Yeah, but your work now, you still, like, you layer an element of comic on top of something very classical. So it's there in the work.
Yeah, of course. Then this, like, I think always this stuff you do on the side becomes kind of the main thing, and then it goes back and forth like that. So I realized that's a good thing for me to be working on something on the side and then let it slide into the, like, main practice.
Why is everything at night?
I don't know. I thought it's a good fun stylistic decision, because I always knew I have to make a decision in order to distinguish my style or something. And I thought that night is interesting because, like, it kind of tells a lot about where I'm at and how I am.
Yeah, but what about New York at night? Like, New York at night is pretty magical.
Yeah, and the neon stuff and everything.
It's got like a Blade Runner vibe sometimes.
I mean, I love the neon lights. I love that it, like, looks a little sci-fi. And I think big cities at night are, like, fascinating. I think that there's a whole new life at night.
Walk me through, like, when you go out, do you bring a sketchbook? Are you, like, walking the night? I know at one point we called your article The Night Stalker. We changed that.
Yeah. There's nothing special I do. I just take out my phone and go around, take pictures. Like, a show I did, like, just a few years ago. No, 2 years ago at Muchacha Gallery in New York, in Chelsea. I had 8 paintings. They were all done, like, kind of around my corner. When I take someone to the corner I was living in, I said, "This is my painting. This is my painting. This is," and they're like, "That's so funny. Like, everything is at one spot."
It's like really all simple. The different angles of a block. Is that kind of what it was?
No, just, yeah, not different, not literally, but, you know, it looks like completely different paintings, but I actually just took something that's, like, really nearby. Like, I don't search too much. I really only walk my path, like, a few streets.
I used this quote that you had in the interview that's in the print edition, where you painted recently Central Park, and this idea that everybody has an idea of what Central Park looks like. Everybody kind of knows how it's situated in the borough of Manhattan. But you decided you were going to take the most familiar thing and paint it yourself. And I love the way that you talk about, just because everybody's seen it doesn't mean I can't put my own interpretation on it, or doesn't mean I should be scared to do it myself. So when you're painting New York and you're painting something like Central Park and it's so familiar to people, like, is it a challenge to have people look at what you're doing as original, that even though they've seen it before?
Yeah, of course. Like, Central Park is such a big, you know, basic idea to paint. It's almost basic to the point where it becomes funny to me.
Yeah.
At least, you know, at least it's funny to me enough to challenge it, because it's almost, I don't know, I said in your interview before that it's like almost like painting the Pietà or something like that.
Right.
Like something that's already painted, already done, already la la. So I downloaded all the Central Park paintings I could find. And I kind of, okay, I can kind of fit in my work here. And I saw what's the best and what I like about them. And then I did a thing that I thought that nobody has done yet. And I combined pictures and the map and everything. I put everything together that I could to make something, let's say, new, or I don't know. Yeah, I mean, it is new.
So that's funny to you?
Yeah, it's funny to take something so banal and obvious. It's like, because it's so obvious. That's why I think it's funny.
It's like writing a song that just says, "I love you."
Yeah, or something like that, or calling your band America. Like, I don't know. I like that. That's such a funny band name, I think.
Are they actually American? I think they are.
Yeah, I think they are. But that's the best song name. That's the best band name ever.
Is there a band called Croatia?
No, but there should be. Zagreb. Or there's this band also called United States of America.
Yeah.
That's genius.
There's also presence of the United States of America.
That's so good. You know, so that's kind of the idea, like Central Park. Like, I mean, it's really like straightforward. And I think that there's something in that. Like there's something in that simplicity, which is also meditative.
It adds to this perception that, okay, he's painting Central Park. This band is called America. You come at it with a preconceived idea, and then if you see everything else that the artist does, and it's not about America or it's not about Central Park, it actually does become a conversation unto itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like that. I really like that. Just pointing out something simple and obvious is there's depth to it. Like, you know, like they say, I don't know, every tree is actually different. Like it's not, we call it trees, but each tree is different. Like, right. So you know, just contemplating on big ideas like that is interesting. Same as like just contemplating on something very obvious. And like, I think that's like, also that's why I took the night as subject matter, because it's also very big. It's big enough to like, so you can like contemplate on it. You can think about it, and you will never like have an end to that in some way.
How do you avoid? I know you don't like nostalgia. You're not nostalgic.
Oh, I am. I don't.
Oh, you are.
I am. Yeah. I mean,
what are you nostalgic for? I thought you said you weren't nostalgic.
Everything.
Everything.
I don't know. Like, I don't know. Like, people say that they're not nostalgic. I don't know, but I am nostalgic. I think I'm nostalgic all the time. I'm nostalgic for Croatia. I'm nostalgic when I come to Croatia. I'm nostalgic for New York. I'm nostalgic for everything in the past. And I don't know. Like,
but do you think you paint nostalgia?
Yeah, a little bit. Like almost like mocking nostalgia or something like that. Or like being one with my nostalgia or something like that. Or like accepting the fact that I'm a little like melodramatic. I don't know.
But there's a drama to your work.
Yeah, there is. But I think that's like also part of painting. Painting is always a little dramatic.
Yeah.
Like an art. Art is dramatic. And that's also something you can like play with.
Yeah. Do you think about that when you're putting together a show? Is it a play for you? Like, do you kind of storyboard it out of how a particular body of work is going to be presented so that it has both the elements of the elements of comics, stories, drama? Do you play it out like that?
I always wanted to do it, to really design the show and stuff, but it never, I used to do that more in Croatia, actually, more design. But here in New York, because it kind of doesn't matter, people and gallerists really allow you to do kind of free, whatever you want. You can have a story, you don't have to have a story. So I use that, you know, to my advantage in ways in which I don't have to plot everything. I can just put like 6-7 completely different paintings in the show. And I did that a couple of times now already. And I see the plot comes by itself. And then, you know, if I just paint whatever I encounter to be interesting, the show becomes an accumulation of stuff that I found interesting in those 6 months that I painted it. And then I see the story without my interference, and I can see something new in my own, you know, you know, at that time I was thinking this was cool or something, and then why. And like, in some way, when you let go of like plotting and just do whatever you want, when you see it in the end in the gallery, you learn something from yourself in some way.
The last show at ATM,
yeah,
it felt like you were having a conversation with you and your friends about nostalgia and about what it meant to get together and gather and what it meant to have a social life outside in New York City. So I have to imagine that when you saw all that work together, it rang true.
Yeah. It's something like that. Like, it's also, yeah. It's interesting that you can have this interpretation. I still don't know what it, like, it kind of, yeah. Yeah. I know one painting was about that. It was like three friends in a bar, like painting.
Right.
But I don't think the whole show is really about, like.
But there was like the crowd scene out, like outside of like a brownstone. It felt social. It felt like a wanting to be social again.
You mean because of the pandemic?
I mean, the pandemic is a topic, but it's like we're all different because of the pandemic. We all changed.
Mm-hmm.
Our way we interact with people changed. So I'm wondering, it's almost like we need practice again. And it feels like the show was about how do we practice again to be social and to be outside and to look at the city.
I have to admit, I didn't change anything during the pandemic.
I know you said that before.
I hung out as much as I hung out before. I didn't mind masks or anything. I was sick once and I had a little bit of panic because of it in the beginning, but I don't know. I just accepted it. I was hanging out with friends all the time, mostly one-on-one, maybe in more groups. And I don't know. I just felt more relaxed in my studio. It's or something like that. I got too much of that pandemic.
You don't think you changed at all?
Mm-mm. No.
That's bold. I like that.
No, not at all.
Did it change the way that you went out in the city and interpreted what you were seeing?
Yeah, I mean, it was just interesting to see New York super empty. I think that was a good moment.
And how did you depict that?
Just empty. I painted like Apollo Theater because I lived like by Columbia there, and then I walked to Bleak, you know, and you know when you walk to Bleak you see Apollo Theater. That's like, so like then I was like, okay, I could paint Apollo Theater like with empty streets. That's like an interesting way to paint it, because like you also can't just like paint Apollo Theater. You have to think of a reason and a way to paint it. And I thought that was an interesting moment to paint like empty Harlem, just empty and just Apollo, you know, there.
Are you political at all in your work, you think?
Yeah. All the time. But kind of underlying, you know, but also the message is not very direct. It's more like a surface.
I remember like there was a painting of Tompkins Square Park that you did, and just knowing the history of what that park means to certain movements, particularly on the more leftist side. And I thought that was a really interesting nod to like a kind of interesting little political idea that you were kind of searching for.
Yeah, I love to put that, like to lay it out somehow. You know, because like just if you zoom out a little bit, like as I did on Tompkins, you see the buildings around, you see how it's how it's made, how it's designed. There's history in those streets, in everything. And, you know, you don't have to like say anything directly, but you can just like paint like Tompkins Square Park. And it's already has so much history in it that it like. It is like this, like choice and angle of everything makes it like, I don't know, makes it just like maybe potentially political. Depends on who's seeing it. For example, you know that, but someone else will say it's a beautiful painting. You know, like so. Right. I like that kind of movement. Yeah.
Were you ever interested in architecture?
As in myself being an architect?
Yeah.
No, not really. Yeah, but you mean because I paint so many buildings now?
I just think that you have a really, really interesting sense of how a city is constructed.
The thing about architecture is that it's an interesting part of art history, which I think I kind of discovered later, in sense in which buildings are also designed and neighborhoods come from certain ideas, which are almost art, which are also art, actually. And that's kind of interesting that like every neighborhood and every building is actually an artwork itself, and it speaks to something. It has a concept as much as a, I don't know, painting has a concept. And that's like, I thought that that was interesting. And that's like also kind of, that brings like art to also a level of politics, which is speaking very directly. Like, you know, what was the politics of this place? You know, like there's Chinatown, there's the project, there's this, there's that, there's a supermarket that, you know, just to lay that out, you know, that's already like, you have so many layers of design, ideas, history of everything, sociology. Like it's, I really like architecture in that sense, like because it displays some kind of history, some kind of ideas, even like some kind of utopian ideas, which I think that's very interesting in architecture, that like especially the projects in New York as they were built somehow utopian, you know, and then you see how they end up and all that. And it's like, it's just layered in that sense, architecture, which I enjoy.
Because there's so many, you know, the history of New York is so entrenched with immigration and different cultures coming here and either staying in New York or going off into different parts of the United States. Have you ever had conversations with like that lifelong New Yorker who goes, all right, Croatian guy, and you're painting my city, like, what's up? Like, or do you have that kind of, have you had that conversation with like a lifelong New Yorker who looks at your work in a certain way or asks you how you see the city? Like, do you have those conversations with the kind of lifelong New Yorker?
I think from ATM, you know, Will, who I worked with, is a total New Yorker. And like, and I think he liked my work also because of that. And James too is very, like a very New York guy, and he also liked my work because of that. I think the people who are New Yorkers, they're really like, I think they really enjoy people coming in, like, and showing the city, and like, I think that's the like New Yorker thing. I think that they really are like the kind of the hosts to this like kind of things that's happening here.
When you go back to Croatia, are you tempted to apply what you've been doing in New York to Zagreb?
Yeah. And it was also the other way around.
Okay.
What I was kind of thinking of Zagreb and the ways I was thinking about, you know, architecture there and all that stuff, I started doing here and now back. I noticed that thing first time in Paris when I came to this bridge, Pont des Arts, and everyone's hanging there. Everyone's drinking on this bridge. It's like, almost like a party bridge. And then I Google Pont des Arts, and there's a band called Pont des Arts. And then I come to New York, and I'm on 110th Street, and then there's this song across 110th Street. And I thought that's very interesting, and how these big cities are like, there's songs about streets, there's songs about neighborhoods. They're just like, there's so many songs where people are just like saying, I don't know, this Ramon song, 53rd and 3rd. I mean, it's funny in some way. Zagreb doesn't have that. So I was always thinking I would like to do that to Zagreb, like really map it out with like songs and meaning. And like, I think that's really like fun.
Like create something iconic for Zagreb.
Yeah, but continuously do it, which is also funny. Like, you know, just like take every street. I think that's funny because like when you are from Zagreb, like you can take, I don't know, an intersection and you'll be kind of the first one to do it.
You're going to be like you're going to go back to Croatia. You're going to name your band Croatia.
No, I'm going to name my band America with K. Or New York spelled like, you know, wrong. I was thinking I want to call myself DJ Govanus when I go back.
DJ Grumps?
Govanus.
Govanus?
Yeah, because it's such a funny name for a neighbor.
What is the show at James Suenta's shaping up to be? Like, what do you have going on for that show?
I will have many small pieces, and I'm starting now. I started working on that now, but I think I'll leave the idea for my for as a secret for now, because I don't know. Like, I don't want to spoil it.
I want to know about the video game stuff.
Uh-huh.
You just posted something on Instagram the other day that was, and you've done it, but you've painted these things, these scenes before, where it's like the viewer looking through like the city, but also as like a video game screen. It's jarring at times when I see it, because I almost had to stop and go, what is he doing? What am I looking at? But I want to know a little bit about video games, and if it's, you know, something that you play, or if it's just the way that the city presents itself to you.
I think video games comes from this idea of me in my own generation and what I grew up with and what kind of aesthetical mindset I have and I'm kind of grown into. Because like I think I grew up in like the golden age of video games in some way. And you know, when I saw those games, like when I was a kid, when I got my CD of like Quake or something like that, I was like, what is that? I never felt so fascinated ever again. Like, so it made a real mark in me. And I know that my perception is kind of like that. I always think of life in that kind of way, like, oh, experience points or like health or stats. Like, I think that's like a, it's like a perception, or it's like, and many times I would joke with my friends that like certain situations are like, you're like almost like in a video game. And I don't know, I liked also Minecraft and the way the direction where Minecraft took video games. And I thought that it's really going into like a meta, like not meta, this Facebook, but real meta space, you know? And I don't know. I thought video games are very deep in that way. And it's just a matter of time when people will accept video games as art without any, you know, pushing back on it or something like that. It will be like, I think Doom or some games like that are art, or just art as much as anything.
Have you ever sought out the artists who created like those landscapes in video games?
No.
I haven't either. I mean, I wish I knew more, because you're right. Those are some of the most iconic and interesting and difficult pieces of art to make and create. I hate to say that I don't know many people who do video game design, and I think it's overlooked, the artwork that's in video games, especially that era you're talking about.
Yeah. I watched some documentaries. There is a few on how Doom was made, on how Quake was made, and stuff like that. And I think that's really, like, I really enjoyed them and how they made the game look like that, how they came up with this like first person thing. I think that's a really, there's this on Netflix, this thing, like, I forgot what it's called, about the history of video games, which is also very interesting.
You know, and it makes me think a little bit of Mobius or Harvey Pekar or Chris Ware, or these people who, the depth of which they were telling the story and the art in which they were creating is something that it's now getting its due. More and more people are considering it to be fine. I mean, R. Crumb is groundbreaking in that way. Robert Williams, who's the founder of Juxtapose, is groundbreaking in that way of getting more people's eyeballs on what the potential of comics can be. When you were younger, growing up in Croatia, Austria, what were some of the comic book legends that you were seeking out, or did you even pay attention?
I came into comics late, into R. Crumb and things like that. I discovered that when I was like 26. But when I was a kid, I actually what I liked was Mickey Mouse comics. I liked that. I liked Donald Duck. Okay. I didn't like the stuff that was usually read. I didn't like superheroes. I'm very, very against that. I tried to read Sandman. I couldn't read it. It's like too much, too pretentious. I don't know. I didn't, and the amount of dislike I had for that, but because I felt like I belonged to it, but I disliked it so much, made me even like more Arkham and stuff when I finally discovered it. And it was really like, oh my God, like, of course, like, that's it. Like, so it took me a long time to come to even like see that. So that's why I was like so happy when I finally discovered some comics that I liked.
I have to ask, you've painted Central Park. Have you ever painted Mickey Mouse?
Yeah. I include like Mickey Mouse characters in my work sometimes and stuff like that.
I mean, that is like the most ubiquitous character in the world, I would think.
What is that word?
Ubiquitous.
Yes.
It's like something that's now you're calling out the dude who used the word ubiquitous in a fucking podcast.
I really don't know that word.
No, it's like the thing that's like recognizable or across the board, everyone sort of knows. It's like it crosses. It's just like it is what it is. There's nobody who doesn't think that's Mickey. It's Mickey Mouse.
I know, but that's also like kind of very obvious. And
you should start using ubiquitous more. Just today, use ubiquitous.
Ubiquitous.
I can't spell it. So I'm, you know, there's two words I cannot spell no matter what. I cannot spell the word rhythm. Never. I can never spell the word rhythm. And ubiquitous. I can't spell it.
And consciousness.
Oh, consciousness is hard.
Oh my God.
I feel like anybody who tells you they can spell that word without, like, you know, spell checking, full of shit.
When I want to write it, and that's very often, I suppose, my spell check is also all over the place because I spelled it so many times wrong that it already remembered my three misspelled ways. But yeah, Mickey, like, I don't know, like, Donald, not just Mickey Mouse, also Donald Duck and all that, the old Mickey Mouse comic. I remember I really enjoyed that. I really enjoyed when it was like on a kiosk, I would buy it, I would read it. I really liked like Donald Duck going to the street and then something happens, always something like little tricks, little like kind of spins in the plot, which I really liked. And I really liked that like little world they live in. I don't know. I think like Robert Crumb is related to that. Like, it's all also like that, like Mr. Natural goes and then something stupid happens. Like, it's all that. It's kind of, it has this like funny world thing, like, which is, you know, when he does it, it becomes like a little bit more political. And so that's what I like about it. Like, you can take Mickey Mouse and just twist it, and it's such a good surface mainstream, because it's so mainstream, it becomes a better like thing to like work with, attack, even, like, you know, it makes it worth it, you know.
Ubiquitous, present, appearing, or found everywhere.
It is.
How Austrian are you?
My friends from Croatia think that I'm a little bit more cold than a Croatian is, that I'm focused and more like working, very like, maybe that's true, but I'm not sure. It's hard to tell.
There is a very, very rich history of painting in Austria. I have to assume that some of that influenced you.
I was in Salzburg, and the main guy there is Mozart.
Yeah, it's true.
That was more like an influence, like him being so hardworking and la la la. I think that was like more of a thing. I found out about Schiele and Klimt only later in life. I never heard of them, and I when I was a kid, I didn't like painting. I really only liked cartoons and video games. I only started liking painting when I went to school, when I was learning about art history, when I learned about like the biographies of those artists. But painting in itself, without the like backstory, I never like, I was like, well, like this is old, like, you know, I couldn't grasp it. I think what's the artist that I was, that I even knew that existed in Austria when I was living there, because I was like 7 years old, was Mozart.
I think that would be a great band name, by the way. Since we're going through band names, Mozart, America, Croatia. Mozart would be great.
There's this song Rock Me Amadeus, which is a good one.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
It's like Amadeus and Mozart and Mickey Mouse. That stuff is interesting. And Central Park, that stuff is interesting to me in that sense. Like, it's so obvious. It's so, you know, overused that it becomes a very good topic in that sense.
I think there's the classic Chuck Berry song, Roll Over Beethoven.
Yeah. Okay, of course. Yeah.
I think the Beatles covered it. That's another thing. Like the Beatles, ubiquitous.
Yeah, the Beatles. Or like, who's your favorite Beatles member? John.
Of course, John. Obviously. Just no question.
Because everyone's like, George.
No. Anyone who says George is trying to throw you for a curveball. And it's like, no, it's John. Just stop it.
Yeah, it's John. John is the best. He's the leader. Like, yep. George did Hare Krishna.
And it was great.
It was great. No, but he, did you see the documentary when he brings this Hare Krishna guy in?
Is that the one that Beatles documentary? It was like 9.5 hours long?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But yeah. in the very beginning, you see like some Hare Krishna person praying there on the side, and peep, and the other guys are asking, who's this? And this was George's friend. He was also funny, I mean.
Yeah. George?
Yeah.
John was funny too.
Yeah. He's so like, I like the documentary because it really shows how talented they all are. That's like something I enjoy a lot, really, in seeing art, incredible, listening to art, and look, talent. Just, it's so, I enjoyed that so much, like, about that documentary. Seeing them jam, seeing them improvise. Oh, yeah. They're just like, music just is coming from them. It's just so, so good to see that.
I think regardless if you like the Beatles or not, watching that documentary, if you're an artist or a creative person, it's so incredible how when they sat down, no matter what their squabbles might have been, when they sat down, they could put together a song and they went to work. That's the thing that I think is so impressive about that documentary. Like, they went to work.
And they're like anxious about going outside of their studio.
It's unbelievable.
They just want to be in that studio. They don't want to go anywhere else.
It's unbelievable.
They don't want to talk to anyone. They don't want to have concerts.
And they're funny.
Yeah, they're super funny.
My girlfriend's from the northwest of England, and she's got that humor where it's just like, where did that come from? Just such wit. And it's like, you could see it in the Beatles where it's just, talk about what fun could be and what humor could be. That documentary is perfect for that.
Yeah, I loved it. I can't believe I even watched it. Like, it's not a 9-hour documentary.
Oh, I could watch it again.
Yeah, and nothing's happening, but I watched it. I can't believe it. Like, it's really good.
What other things are sort of influencing you at the moment that is not necessarily part of New York or part of comics, you know, the stuff that, you know, we talk about this Beatles documentary, that the shaping of a body of work and how illuminating that documentary was. Or is there something that's influencing you at the moment that's not giving away too much for your next show?
Wait, let me think. I'm not sure. I can't think of anything.
Nothing's influencing you at the moment.
I can't think of anything. Like,
it's a holiday week. I know. It's hard.
I have to look through my, like, phone. I don't know.
Did you go to the Edward Hopper show at the Whitney?
Yeah, but
I thought about you when I was there.
Yeah, I didn't. I mean, I know Edward Hopper. It's okay. I like him, but I will go see it, you know. But Edward Hopper is so, for me, that's so boring.
It's boring?
I don't often say that, boring, about art. But Edward Hopper has this, like, maybe that's what he wants. He wants to be like really super boring, like, like insanely boring. And that's maybe the magic of it, because you get so bored that it becomes like surreal. I mean, I have to go see the show so I can, like, I want to see the Anselm Kiefer show.
Yeah, it looks amazing.
that he's for example one of the greatest painters. He really, like, I don't know, I saw a couple of his like installations, permanent, I can't remember, Mas Mocha, something like that, like, and it's really like, that's like, that's something unachievable for me, like, I, it's like so out of, like, it's so crazy.
So it's daytime, it's not nighttime. Are you a night painter or are you a day painter?
Both.
Okay.
Depends on the day. Sometimes I'm so lazy that I only start painting at 9 p.m. But sometimes I'm just like working all the time. Like, I don't know. Sometimes I'm just in the studio doing nothing and then night comes and I'm like, okay, now I'm good.
Now I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
I can't imagine you're lazy.
Yeah, I kind of am. Like, that's maybe that's the thing with the workaholic thing, that you, I'm actually lazy and I'm so afraid of it.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe that's like a, you know.
That is a therapy session right there for you.
Yeah, that's a therapy session. I should like talk about that. Yeah.
So what's up next for you? Are you heading to the holidays? Are you heading back to Croatia for the holidays? Are you staying in New York? What's next for you?
I'm going to Croatia. I will have a show in January.
In Croatia?
Yeah. In Zagreb.
Amazing.
I'm looking forward to that and going there for Christmas, and I'll be with my mother, sister, la la la, and it's gonna be nice. And yeah, and then that show, and then I'm back here again.
And when's Fuentes' show?
It's gonna be in July somewhere.
Amazing. Do you get a different feeling knowing that you're gonna be showing in Zagreb? Is it a different experience for you altogether than showing in New York?
Yeah, of course, because in Zagreb many people come that are my friends and I know them, and like it gathers like a big group of people that I have known for decades, you know, and I see them all at one place and then we go out, and like, of course, it's like a lot different. But even though that this is starting to happening also, this is starting to happen also here, because I'm already here like 4 years and there's a lot of people, you know, from 4 years ago that I haven't seen. So they, I don't know, you know, they all come to one place. So I don't know, like New York really became my second home in some kind of really nice way in that sense. Like I come here and there's people, oh, I haven't seen you for so long. You know, like I have that here, like, you know. So that's that times 10 I have in Croatia. Like,
my final question in this Radio Juxtapose podcast is, because I get asked this all the time now, or I know it's coming, but when you live in New York and you go home for the holidays to wherever it is that you're not, that wherever it is that you're from that is not New York, people want a gift from New York. What is your go-to gift?
I've never bought, like, I used to send postcards, like, postcards to friends and family, but then I made 10 amazing postcards. I did collages. I bought vintage postcards. I sticked like McDonald's signs on top of them, you know, like to make it, you know, postmodern. And they didn't arrive. And after that, I experienced trauma. And I cannot buy gifts or anything anymore. And I don't buy any, I never bought magnets or anything like
that. Not even like a I Heart New York mug?
No. No, oh, I like the cat. The cat with the
that's not the Chinese. I mean, is that New York?
Chinatown, New York.
It's Chinatown.
That's the best.
I'll give that. Yeah, that's definitely New York.
I love that cat with the hand. Yeah.
I just want to know what person now has a piece of your like Dada postcard that is like,
I'm still haven't recovered from that.
When you have your museum show, like, you're not going to be able to recover that.
Yeah. And that's, I have to have a Dada part in my show, in my retrospective.
Exactly. Your retrospective, you know, like when they had those vitrines and they always have like the letters the artist sent to their friends, like this shit you'll never get that, you'll never get back.
No. But from these ones, but I was doing that for many, many years.
Okay.
Like my mother has like 20, between 20 and 30 insane postcards at home.
Amazing.
And my friends, some have them framed. And because I would just collage everything I could like into one piece of little like paper like that and send it. But I think the USPS saw that, and they were like, this is too political. We cannot send this. We can't do it.
I love that. I love that voice you just gave. Is that the voice of the postal worker?
Yeah. The chooser, the one who makes the choice of what's post, what's not post. He was like, this is too...
What is this Croatian guy doing?
Yeah, this cannot go. We are American Post.
New York, Zagreb. But if you could pick one other city right now to start painting, what would it be?
Mexico City or Berlin?
Good answer. Completely opposite. Great answer.
Yes, that's the only two cities that I can imagine myself going and actually painting or working with it. Because like they both have some histories that I think are very interesting.
And with that,